שלום, אנחנו קוראים בכתבי בעל הסולם, עמוד 104.
We're reading in Kabbalah for the Students. We're on page 411, the preface to the wisdom of... I'm sorry, preface to the Book of Zohar. Questions and materials can be downloaded from Chab TV.
We're studying here different aspects of perception of reality. How do we perceive reality? How does our perception divide this to colors and different boundaries and parameters and portions? How the matter itself is divided to still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, the matter, form dressed in matter, abstract form and essence, and other aspects. And we just read that with respect to the person, there is the matter that is his body, and then the qualities dressed in the matter, like strength, truth, deceitfulness, and so on. And then there's the person's essence, the form, the abstract form, if we think about the qualities detached from the person, and the person's essence, which is something that we don't know that seems to exist within as a deeper foundation. Let's see what he says about this in item 12.
Item 12. Know that we have no perception whatsoever in the fourth manner, the essence of the person in itself, without the matter. This is because our five senses and our imaginations offer us only manifestations of the actions of the essence, but not the essence itself. For example, the sense of sight offers us only shadows of the visible essence, as they are formed opposite the light. Similarly, the sense of hearing is but a force of striking of some essence on the air. And the air that is rejected by its striking, the drum in our ear, and we hear that there is some essence in our proximity. The sense of smell is but air that emerges from the essence and strikes our nerves of scent, and we smell. Also, the sense of taste is a result of the contact of some essence with our nerves of taste. Thus, all that these four senses offer us are manifestations of the operations that stem from some essence and nothing of the essence itself. Even the sense of touch, the strongest of the senses, separating hot from cold and solid from soft, all these are but manifestations of operations within the essence. They are but incidents of the essence. This is so because the hot can be chilled, the cold can be heated, the solid can be turned to liquid through chemical operations, and the liquid into air, meaning only gas, where any discernment in our five senses has been expired, yet the essence still exists in it, since you can turn the air into liquid once more, and the liquid into solid. Evidently, the five senses do not reveal to us any essence at all, but only incidents and manifestations of operations from the essence. It is known that what we cannot sense, we cannot imagine. And what we cannot imagine will never appear in our thoughts. And we have no way to perceive it. Thus the thought has no perception whatsoever in the essence. Moreover, we do not even know our own essence. I feel and I know that I take up space in the world, that I am solid, warm, and that I think, and other such manifestations of the operations of my essence. But if you ask me about my own essence, from which all these manifestations stem, I do not know what to reply to you. You therefore see that providence has prevented us from attaining any essence. We attain only manifestations and images of operations that stem from the essences.
Questions?
Can you?
Yes, Yuda.
What are the actions of this essence?
Actions of the essence are what I feel.
But I feel according to my sense what I have.
Right, what I feel in my senses are actions coming from the essence, not the essence itself. The essence itself, I don't feel, I don't know. There is something that invites actions within me, meaning I exist. That's what I feel. I float in the air. I'm a solid, warm, thinking, feeling, seeing, smelling. That's me. I can say a lot about myself, but where does it all come from? Who's inviting in me this perception, these discernments? What's the essence that does it? I don't know. I don't know my own essence, and I don't know who's inviting in that in me, if anyone.
We learned that like the action is constant. The light is abstract. It's operating all the time. Only from our intention we somehow change. I see there's stronger actions. There's a concept that operates more or less in me without the sense of perception.
How could it be without perception? Everything we perceive is what we perceive. Kabbalists, too, are vessels of perception. They tell us what they find in the vessels of reception, even though we don't discover it yet. And if we will discover, we'll discover the same thing. We'll discover something that already exists and influences us.
So also the actions of essence is something that a person imagines?
The actions of the essence I determine according to what I feel. But what's the essence itself? I don't know. Who am I feeling all that? I don't know. And who's influencing me with everything I feel? I don't know either. We're beginning to feel, in short, from our feeling, a certain degree of revelation from which we begin to feel ourselves in a surrounding environment.
So what is the real perception of reality?
He doesn't reveal to us. He tells us what we discover here in this world.
So it works out that there's some force which is the essence, that's what he calls, which defines all the actions.
Probably it exists, but I don't attain it.
So how can it be? If it's the first one, how do I use this essence and can influence other people? Meaning I can take all those actions and just somehow awaken in a person a picture or influence them.
Yeah, but in this, you only engage in results from the essence, not the essence itself. You can't say about yourself who you are. You can't. What will you tell me? What's written in your ID? What? Your character or your medical exams? What? This isn't the essence. These are external actions that we can measure with respect to a person. But who is he? There's no clue, just as with regards to this world and everything.
But we know him according to his actions.
Exactly, the actions. But who makes the actions? The essence. What's the essence? I don't know. I don't attain it. The actions are what I attain. Deeper than that, no.
But I can kind of like learn in this world and use those actions somehow. I'm awakening them.
All right, we live within these actions, but behind the actions stands something called essence we don't attain.
It turns out that the essence is always first.
All right. Guys, come on, there's not a lot to discuss here. It just has to be clear. We don't attain the essence. Next.
Item 13. We do have full perception in the first manner, which is matter, meaning the manifestations of operations that manifest from each essence. This is because they quite sufficiently explain to us the essence that dwells in the substance, in such a way that we do not suffer at all from the lack of attainment in the essence itself. We do not miss it just as we do not miss a sixth finger in our hand. The attainment of the matter, meaning the manifestation of the operations of the essence, is quite sufficient for our every need and learning, both for attaining our own being and for attaining the whole that exists outside of us.
Yeah. Continued. So we need his attitude. Where are you? Item 14? Okay, yeah. Just like we don't lack a sixth finger, meaning we don't just don't know the essence, we don't have the lack to attain the essence. We're built in such a way that it's from the essence onwards, but not there. We can't attain it, and therefore we have no lack for it and no access to it. Where is he going with this? I don't know, but in the meantime, he explains that there's something in me and something behind this world that is completely concealed from me, and I have no lack for it, and that's how I live. We can see similar examples to this in the world, in life. People who don't know why they exist, what for, they just live, and that's it. They grow up, they look at others, they live the same, and they die. Meaning they don't even have the desire to come to the question of what's the point in life, the purpose of life, not the life itself, the essence of man, the essence of reality, just the purpose of life they don't even wish to attain. But at least that they can attain, and not the essence. Next.
Item 14. The second manner, form clothed in matter, is a satisfactory and clear attainment too, since we acquire it through practical and real experiments we find in the behavior of any matter. All our higher, reliable knowledge stems from this discernment.
Right, meaning form clothed in matter. This is something we can learn and attain because there is matter and form dressed in matter. For instance, Niv, Navon, the matter is Niv, Navon is his form. Next.
It's not clear, as far as our perception of reality that we're learning right now, what essence is in general. What is essence?
We don't know it. What are you asking?
No, so what are we defining as something like that?
The primordial root to what happens and what you can research. There is a prior root to it called an essence. When you're asking, where do I come from, what am I, who am I, you eventually cannot discover any of that. You can't access that root. You can only recognize the actions, the consequences of the essence, but not the essence itself.
Is essence one for all?
I don't know. You're asking about things I don't know and can't know. Simple question. A simple answer. We don't know. We just don't know.
It's written we won't define it by name or appellation if we don't attain it. So why is it written the word essence?
This isn't about the essence. It's not about that. What you can attain is not essence. Next.
Item 15. The third manner is abstract form, meaning once the form has been revealed while clothed in some matter, our imaginations can abstract it from any matter altogether and perceive it regardless of any substance. Such as that are the virtues and good qualities that appear in moral books, where we speak of properties and truth and falsehood, anger and strength, etc., when they are devoid of any matter. We ascribe them merit or demerit, even when they are abstract. You should know that this third manner is unacceptable to the prudent erudite, since it is impossible to rely on it 100%. Since being examined while not clothed in matter, they might err in them. For example, one with idealistic morals, meaning one who is not religious, because of his intensive engagement in the merit of truth, while in its abstract form, that person might decide that even if he could save people from death by telling them a lie, he may decide that even if the whole world is doomed, he will not utter a deliberate lie. This is not the view of Torah, since nothing is more important than saving lives. Indeed, had one learned the forms of truth and falsehood when they are clothed in matter, he would comprehend only with respect to their benefit or harm to matter. In other words, after the many ordeals the world has been through, having seen the multitude of ruin and harm that the deceitful people have caused with their lies, and the great benefit that truthful people have brought by restricting themselves to saying only words of truth, they have agreed that no merit is more important than the quality of truth, and there is no such disgrace as the quality of falsehood. And if the idealist had understood that, he would certainly agree to the view of Torah and would find that falsehood that saves even one person from death is far more important than the entire merit and praise of the abstract quality of truth. Thus, there is no certainty at all in those concepts of the third manner, which are abstract forms, much less with abstract forms that have never clothed in any substance. Such concepts are nothing but a waste of time.
Meaning that we cannot be certain about any social convention or anything, nothing, until we discover the truth to a depth that in the meantime we cannot access, which relates to the essence of the matter. We use the word essence as if we attain it and can work with it. But certainly it all stays outside of us. We're kind of in the dark, groping the wall, but not exactly knowing where we are. And therefore, what's up to us is only to make well-defined actions by Kabbalists in order to delve deeper into reality, and there we'll gradually find some correct rules by which to activate ourselves. All right? Yes, what?
What is the essential difference between the abstract and the essence? It's like we don't see it. It's not perceivable. We see people who have the ideal but don't see the ideal itself.
That's exactly what philosophy is.
That's why I'm asking about it.
Well, because this you can argue about and philosophize and do some PhDs and you know, research. It's not even science, really, because science has to materialize in matter. And this isn't. It doesn't materialize. It's just for the sake of arguments, because there's no proof or anything. There's just views, opinions, his view and the other's view and so forth. But still, there's something to discuss, so to speak, even though it's unacceptable in the wisdom of Kabbalah. But essence is not something you can even say a word about.
I understand, I'm trying to understand, but as far as what you can talk about, why is the abstract form essentially different than the essence? It's two ideas that are abstract from form.
Because you have no words to describe the essence, and the abstract form, you have words for it, because it's to some extent above reason, and you can discuss it because you're going to attain it in the future. It's attainable.
But abstract is not like examples that I received that are clothed in matter. Isn't it also things that I can put in my mind?
No, that's not form dressed in matter. No. Are you talking about corporeality or spirituality?
What are you talking about here in the text?
All right, what he talks about here is a form that was dressed in matter, and then it's undressed from matter, and then, like he says, a truthful person and so forth.
Yes, but even when I'm saying people of truth, I'm thinking of something in my head, and I don't have truth as a value. As a, there's no ideal in the air. Truth, that's truth, and that's it.
I don't know. What do I care about what people think? Why? What I care if I discuss something is what I'm thinking about. I have an inner concept of what truth is, and I can undress it from a person and talk about it as abstract truth. I don't rely on thousands of philosophers, psychologists, or other smart people who said this or this or that. Why do I need all that? I need what's practical for life. I'll eventually take on their view or what they have, one against the other or something like that. And in the meantime, they agree with something. In a few years, it'll be the opposite. What for? Every person with his own, you know, package of discernments that also change over life, and they take it, you know, from different examples they took from people in their childhood of what it means to be stingy or to be a liar or to be truthful and so forth, and he uses it to stick labels onto new people and so forth. We see everything through this kind of pattern.
Mold or form.
Yeah, like a template. You know, this is what I call a truthful person. So I look through that and I see Dudi, he's a liar. I look at another one, this guy's truthful, but it's too much. Now, why do I determine all these things? It's based on the examples, the templates, that I have in mind. There's nothing real about it, you know, that's changes.
But doesn't it become like a form that is clothed in matter when you do that?
When I say about someone, then yeah.
But also what I clothe there is something I saw in someone else. And
right, that's why there's nothing tangible about it. We can't rely on these definitions ever. All the more so when we detach them from matter itself. And we're very confused with that. This is where all our attitude to society and to human beings come from. There's nothing stable about it. All right, 17. Item 17.
Item 17?
Item 16.
I think it's 16, yeah. Now you have thoroughly learned these four manners: matter, form in matter, abstract form, and essence, intangible things. It has been clarified that we have no perception whatsoever in the fourth manner, the essence, and the third manner is a concept that might mislead. Only the first manner, which is matter, and the second manner, which is form clothed in matter, are given to us by the upper governance for clearer and sufficient attainment. Through them, you will also be able to perceive the existence of spiritual objects, meaning the upper world's abiyya, since there is not a tiny detail in them that is not divided by the four above manners. If, for example, you take a certain element in the world of Bria, there are kilim there which are of red color, through which the light of Bria traverses to the dwellers of Bria. Thus, the clean Bria, which is the color red, is considered matter, or object, meaning the first manner. And even though it is only a color, which is an occurrence and manifestation of an operation in the object, we have already said that we have no attainment in the essence itself, but only in the manifestation of an operation from the essence. And we refer to that manifestation as essence, or matter, or body, or a kli. And the godly light, which travels and clothes through the red color, is the form clothed in the object, meaning the second manner. For this reason, the light itself seems red, indicating its clothing and illumination through the object, considered the body and the substance, meaning the red color. And if you want to remove the godly light from the object, which is the red color, and discuss it in and of itself, without clothing it in an object, this already belongs to the third manner, meaning form removed from matter, which might be subject to errors. For this reason, it is strictly forbidden in studying the upper worlds, and no genuine Kabbalist would engage in that, much less the authors of the Zohar. It is even more so with regards to the essence of an element in Bria, since we have no perception whatsoever, even in the essence of corporeal objects, all the more so in spiritual objects. Thus you have before you four manners. First, the kli of Bria, which is the red color, considered the object or the substance of Bria. Two, the clothing of the godly light in the kli of Bria, which is the form in the object. Three, the godly light itself removed from the object in Bria. And four, the essence of the item. Thus, the first boundary has been thoroughly explained, which is that there is not even a single word of the third and fourth manners in the whole of the Zohar, but only from the first and second manners. Clear definitions. That the book of Zohar was written with a clear definition to not let us be confused. If you want, imagine whatever you want. But the Zohar does not talk not about the abstract form or the essence. That's it. Therefore, it is permitted for everyone to engage in it. If they want to be confused, you can be confused in a children's book. That's clear. But the Zohar is meant for people who realistically talk about the perception of reality in the given vessels that they have, what a person is capable of perceiving and work with. That's why the book of Zohar is open to everyone. Only, what was it waiting for? It was waiting for people to be ready to perceive it in the right way, according to their development, when all the shattered vessels fell into the rest of the kilim, intermingled, and now are ready for the general correction, their common mutual correction. Okay? Yes, Iran.
He says something very...
He says something very sharp, very powerful. He says you can investigate what you have in matter or form dressed in matter. Meaning if you're in this world, you have matter, form dressed in matter. If you're in spirituality, you have the matter and the godly form, and then you can research. Now the question is, what is that state where you're in matter and form dressed in matter in this world, and you want to reach form and matter in the next world, and you're not there, so you're not yet researching. So what is that?
That's a matter of the influence of the upper light. It's the force of bestowal, which has been added to a person and gives him the possibility to do actions against himself, above the will to receive, above his nature, and to begin to define new forms, forms that are clothed in matter, are new forms. That's it. And then he thinks of the matter as new also, because the matter is the will to bestow, kind of like the will to bestow. It's in faith above reason. And then the forms which he builds from his work, from his bestowal.
But his whole research of reality and all the knowledge that one has, it's not in this world and it's not in spirituality. So where is it? Because he doesn't yet have a new matter and form dressed in matter. And also the matter and form are not... Not
what do you mean they're not valid? He lives in them. He lives in the matter that's clothed in form. He's living in them, and now he wants to live in the way he wants to build a different attitude towards reality above him. And that's the new form that he receives. The matter is the new form, and the form that is revealed is in order to bestow.
But it doesn't yet dress. If it does,
so what's the question in the middle?
So I'm asking, what is it to be in between?
It's a reforming light that does this. I do all kinds of actions in order to draw upon me some upper reality that will build above me, above my senses, a new sense. It's a new sense. I'm starting to feel what you don't feel. That's it. What is it? Call it whatever you want. It's simply a new reality which is clothed in matter, in the will to receive, above the will to receive. It doesn't matter how we talk about it, above or within. What is even above desire? And it's like that. But this... is the form that is clothed in matter. You could say above matter. But it's not. It's not the essence, or even the abstract form we can't talk about. Although we talk about it, but it's for the time being, in order to learn. So we talk about the spiritual world in kind of such forms. But that's like with children. We have no interest in that. The system is arranged in such a way that we can't be confused by that. It leads us to corrections. Yes, Gilad.
What is matter and form dressed in matter within the ten?
Matter are all those desires of ours that to start with are meant to bring us to the Creator, to adhesion with Him. That's the matter, the desire. Now, the form that is clothed in matter is where we are trying to fill our desires, our common desires, as one desire in the greatness of the Creator, which is abstract. As we try and try to carry that out, of course, the greatness of the Creator we just talk about, but we're developing a deficiency for that. One will help his friend by envy, and then we all want for this to happen, and we start to raise our common man, And then the reforming light comes and builds in us some recognition of the greatness of the Creator. And when it clothes in us, it builds in us the restriction, the masach, and the ochozer. The greatness of it in me, when it spreads, it builds in me a spiritual kli. That's why it's very important. Are you hearing what the greatness of the Creator is? What it does for us? Rami.
Ken.
Yes.
I also wanted to ask before, during tests, how do we, some people really connect with what's being studied and the diagram, and others just can't grasp it intellectually, but both want the greatness of the Creator. It's not the knowledge. Then how do we integrate with each other to achieve that?
Specifically in such a way we incorporate and these and those and wiser and foolish and more sensitive, less sensitive, it doesn't matter. The main thing is for there to be that incorporation between us. In incorporation there is no redundancy. No one is not meant to be there. And when we do that between us, we will attain what we want. Nikolaev, did you want to ask something?
How do you, as a Kabbalist who attains, rising above the matter and form of this world, do you enter, do you penetrate the abstract form, where there's good and bad, and from that state would you recommend to us what to do?
I recommend to you to study all the material that we studied in the last 10 days, so it will be sorted correctly in the site, and you will read it all the time. That's what I recommend. And then we will penetrate inwards. How much? As much as it's we're enabled to do so in our kelim. And with that, what else are we doing? The daily task. I want to add, I'm repeating myself again and again in my appeal to the European Kli, and I'm truly hopeful that those who are capable to arrive will try to come to the European Congress next weekend. It's something different than to sit in some place and not be together with everyone. I'm warning you, it would be truly a shame to miss out. Your whole future is in your hands. Yes.
With us in the duty today were Poland, from Tan from Canada, and we from the Rehovot group, and Nikolaev, and here's the daily task. Share with your friends in the tent at least three states where you felt a burdening or a disconnect from none else besides him. Again, share with your friends in the tent at least three times when you were and feeling heaviness or detached from none else besides him. The Zohar lesson. You're invited to watch the daily Zohar lesson at 6:30 p.m. Israel time. And goodbye to our viewers on TV. And Europe 2.0, the European Convention, from the 25th to the 27th, go to eurocop.info for details. And a song.
Let your heart speak, let your heart listen, shoulder to shoulder, you won't be alone. Love is around, the deepest ocean, together we're drawn in, I won't let go. Part of you. This is what their life should be. Learning to unite, living.
only this moment when we are together,
together as one.